Greetings from 3EDGE Asset Management. Happy New Year and welcome to the monthly 3EDGE View from the Edge for January 2026. I'm Fritz Foltz, the Chief Investment Strategist here at 3EDGE, and joining me here today, as he does at the beginning of every month, is Eric Biegerleisen, Director of Investment Research and Deputy Chief Investment Officer here at 3EDGE Asset Management. And as we do each month, Eric will provide our firm's most recent outlook for the global capital markets based on our proprietary 3EDGE research model. I have a lot to cover today, so let's get started. And as we know, last year, despite a nearly 20% decline in the S&P 500 following the Liberation Day tariff announcements, stocks rebounded to close the year in quite positive fashion. However, it was really international stocks and certainly gold that led the way in terms of investment performance last year. And now, as we turn the page into 2026, Eric will get into more detail shortly. Looks like we generally maintain some of the same views and themes which guided our portfolios in 2025. So with that, let me turn things over to Eric. And Eric, maybe you could just start taking us through our 3EDGE asset class matrix.
Sure. Thanks, Fritz. So you can see here, no arrows on the chart. So a lot of the same themes that we saw and discussed for a good chunk of 2025, we maintain those same views here and themes as we move into 2026, specifically, you know, generally positive on equities. That's both U.S. and international. We find U.S. still to be a bit overvalued. So international, we favor a bit more than U.S., but still appreciate both asset classes there. We prefer short-term, high-quality fixed income, as we have for some time. And then we also continue to favor hard assets like gold and commodities as we roll into 2026 here, despite the gains we saw, particularly in gold, in 2025. But despite no movement and maintaining these themes, it's not all smooth sailing, and there's no shortage of risks to this outlook. And we'll get into that, I'm sure, as we continue to discuss this.
Being in this business a long time now, I'm always struck by how when you turn the calendar from one year to the next, you're supposed to feel like something stopped and now we're restarting, which is not at all the case. But anyway, so be it. Here we are. All right, let's take a look now at the major asset class groups that we model. And let's start with the equity asset classes, beginning with U.S. equities. What are we seeing there?
Yeah, the model research maintains a somewhat positive outlook for U.S. equities, at least here in the near term. You know, as we've said and noted for quite some time, that U.S. equities remain significantly overvalued by our measure. We are seeing this positive investor psychology feedback loop and on display in a major way. And this is of gains begetting more gains, and you can't ignore that. In addition to that, you know, after a bit of a pause in Q4, we've seen credit spreads in the U.S. have resumed their tightening, which were already quite tight, but now resuming that tightening. And that's another bullish factor. You also have additional fiscal stimulus from the OBBA, the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, and the belief that there may be more monetary loosening in the months ahead. So you take this all together and it's likely to provide a near term boost to U.S. equities here, at least in Q1.
All right, super. So now we'll go outside the U.S., look at ex-U.S., look at international equities, beginning with Europe, which had a really good year last year.
Yeah. European equities were one of the best performing equity markets in 2025, though our research found that the risks to investments here outweighed the potential benefits here for much of the year. And that same theme continues presently, still maintaining that mixed to slightly negative outlook. The yield curve measure we calculate for the region, it just hasn't been sufficiently steep enough to indicate strong growth for the European region. You've had attempts at fiscal and monetary stimulative measures, and they've either stalled out or just haven't been enough to really jumpstart growth. German growth in particular, the biggest potential engine for the region, has really lagged behind a lot of its peers. And then you compound this all with the trade relations that the European Union has had now with the U.S., and altogether just not particularly helpful. You know, that said, we are seeing this new trade agreement just announced with South America and the European Union. And so things may look different soon. We'll no doubt look for that as a turning point and could be some interesting hard data that starts to emerge in the region in the months ahead.
All right, good. So let's turn our attention over to Asia, to the Japanese equity market. And certainly it seemed like there's just a heck of a lot going on, you know, in Japan, in the economy and the markets as they sort of dig their way out of decades and decades of disinflation. So what is the model saying about Japan at this point?
Yeah, well, we continue to maintain that favorable outlook on Japanese equities that started last year, even before the newly elected prime minister. You know, Japan had passed a large fiscal stimulus package back in November, and that should provide a near-term boost for the economy. We did note some caution in the prior months, and that caution remains, and that is regarding the potential for the Bank of Japan, which is the Japanese central bank, to continue to increase short-term interest rates. After the years of deflation they've been in, they are now have positive interest rates and rising. And this could have the effect of strengthening the yen, their currency, which in and of itself would hurt Japanese exporters, a good chunk of their economy, but at the same time could make that popular yen carry trade less profitable or outright unprofitable. And this is where investors borrow the yen and buy up pretty much anything else that's a risk asset. So an unwinding of this trade could lead to further yen strengthening and a sell-off in global risk assets. So that's for sure like a risk that's worth watching closely. But, you know, so far, focused more short-term on this fiscal package, the steepening yield curve measure for the region, and all that's helping to continue to give that positive outlook.
All right, great. So now let's shift our attention to the emerging markets, including China. And that was another good area of equities last year. What are we seeing there now?
Absolutely. Yeah, we still maintain that positive outlook for emerging market equities more broadly. The prospects for the weak U.S. dollar continue to be a tailwind for the region. And this allows emerging markets generally to engage in their own more stimulative policies without causing currency depreciation. You know, then more specifically, U.S. and China, those trade negotiations were kicked for a year, which will be later this year that they'll have to be dealt with again, presumably. So in the meanwhile, both countries can, you know, maintain current trade flows and continue to work on increasing trade with other nations.
All right, great. And then the last of the equity asset classes that we're going to look at here is India, where it seems like the trade talks just go round and round and unclear where it's going to end up. But what is the model telling us there?
Yeah, we saw mediocre performance out of Indian equities in 2025, and certainly when compared to other international equity markets. That said, we do maintain a positive outlook here on Indian equities. And you hit the nail on the head, Fritz, that the trade negotiations between U.S. and India have yet to be resolved. That leaves the U.S. imposing a 50% tariff in place currently. And so on the one hand, you have this attempt by three U.S. lawmakers more recently to introduce a bill that would remove the tariffs outright. And yet you have another bill that's been introduced as well, that a proposal to increase these tariffs from 50 to 500%. Right now, the real crux of the issue seems to rest on India's purchases of Russian oil. And so if progress can be made on that front, perhaps the tariff issues can go away, and perhaps the Venezuelan oil plays a role in filling that issue. So while Indian equities are still overvalued by our measure, the yield curve measure that we do calculate for the region is positively sloped and steepening, and that is all indicative of the potential for future growth.
All right, excellent. So let's move away from the equity markets now, look at the bond market and the current interest rate environment. So looking at the U.S. Treasury market, so what's the model saying there?
Yeah, so the 10-year bond yield volatility has been quite low and trending lower over the last year. There's a measure of this yield volatility from B of A called the MOVE, M-O-V-E index. The outlook for inflation remains well-behaved, too. One can look at the break-even inflation rates as measured by the TIPS market, the TIPS bond yields of varying maturities. They're all hovering just over 2%. Everything's well-behaved, low volatility. However, these types of indicators have historically been quite underwhelming in their ability to properly forecast near-term CPI. You know, the impacts of tariffs with the excessive debt and debt service levels in our country, the potential for a weakening dollar, and the potential for significant changes at the Federal Reserve here in May, each are going to, you know, potentially contribute to future unanticipated bouts of volatility in yields, the potential for inflation that is on no one's radar, the potential for these higher longer term yields remains, you know, even if the Fed does cut at the shorter end. So all of these factors together, you know, continue to support the notion of concentrating fixed income investments in the shorter term maturities, in our opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I think shorter is the place to be here. There's just way too much uncertainty when you get out into the 10-year treasury at this point. All right, let's shift gears to the stay in the bond market, but look at corporate bonds, where, as you mentioned, looks like yield spreads are tightening again. So what are we seeing there?
Yeah, corporate credit spreads still remain very tight. We touched on this when we were discussing U.S. equities before. And so this just goes to suggest that any additional incremental yield one can get by tiptoeing into the corporate market over and above the risk-free treasury market just isn't worth the trade-off at this time, in our opinion. So we would maintain, you know, sticking higher quality with treasuries for the time being.
And just to be clear, when we talk about credit spreads, what we're talking about is the difference in credit quality, right? And how the yield is different for bonds that have a higher credit quality than for lower credit quality. But what we've seen is that contract. And if they start to widen out, it can be a signal that there's uneasiness in the credit markets. And so that's what we're talking about there, just for clear on that. So, all right, let's jump into the real asset, hard asset market, as opposed to financial assets, beginning with gold, which I just can't help to say again, was up 64% last year, which is nuts. But what is the model seeing there now?
Yeah, we saw global central bank gold buying continuing throughout 2025 as nations seek to just diversify away their exposure to the US dollar. You know, gold now makes up a larger share of global reserves than the dollar. So that's a bit of a turning point. You know, and this, of course, is likely related to the tariff measures that the U.S. has imposed, along with the threat of sanctions. And that's encouraged foreign investors just to seek to diversify away that U.S. dollar-based exposure. You know, as gold is priced in U.S. dollars, we've said this for some time, a rising gold price is really a reflection of weakening demand for dollars. You know, investors remain concerned over, you know, a grab bag of global geopolitical conflicts, even with our own allied nations. And that's helped to boost the attractiveness of gold as this haven asset. And we've noted in months prior as well, you know, as gold continues to make these new all-time highs, there comes this increased risk of a consolidation period or a profit-taking period nearer term. We saw gold peak in late December at $4,500 an ounce. And now more recently trades just below this level. So, you know, that said, we do find gold over the longer term may just continue its upward move, potentially with weakening job numbers. That may encourage the Federal Reserve to continue its monetary easing to combat that side of their dual mandate. So overall, taken together, maintain that positive outlook on gold. It continues to provide that nice hedge, and it can be a volatility dampener in the portfolio, you know, alongside traditional equity and bond-like investments.
All right. And then staying in the hard asset, real asset area, let's just talk about more commodities in general beyond gold. And what is our model showing us there?
Yeah, well, like gold, you know, weakening demand for U.S. dollars may also benefit commodities more broadly. And as we noted, you know, with the U.S.-China trade negotiation, that relationship at least, you know, punted till later this year, you know, window may open up here for stimulative demand from China. And that could provide a boost here in the near term for commodities as well. So the outlook remains positive.
All right, Eric, thank you very much for the update as we begin yet another year of navigating the global capital markets. But that will do it for this month's 3EDGE View from the Edge. If you would like a hard copy of this, the full View from the Edge newsletter for this month, you'll find that at our website, and that's at 3edgeam.com. As a reminder, Steve Cucchiaro and I will be holding our quarterly webinar for the fourth quarter, taking a look back at the full year 2025, as well as Q4 2025, and then Steve will provide our outlook for 2026. The webinar is scheduled for Thursday, January 15th. It begins at 12:15, and if you would like to listen in, just please reach out to us, and we can forward you an invitation. So that will do it for us. On behalf of Eric and everyone here at 3EDGE, thanks for listening. This commentary is intended for information purposes only and does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy securities. The opinions expressed and viewed from the Edge are those of Mr. Foltz and Mr. Beagleisen and are subject to change without notice in reaction to shifting market conditions. This commentary is not intended to provide personal investment advice and does not take into account the unique investment objectives and financial situation of the listener. Investors should only seek investment advice from their financial advisor. The observations include information from sources that 3EDGE believes to be reliable, but the accuracy of such information cannot be guaranteed. Investments, including common stocks, fixed income, commodities, and ETFs, all involve a risk of loss that investors should be prepared to bear.